Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good Wednesday evening. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, and we're here on 1320 WILS. Let's start with a 1320 WILS traffic alert right now. I-96 eastbound at Williamston Road. There is backup occurring. An accident has occurred right there at Williamston on I-96 eastbound, so be aware of that. Let's begin with Michigan's economy. What are we in for under the Trump administration? Charles Ballard with us, Michigan State University economist. Charles, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me back on your program.
Well, I want to ask you first about the Fed decision today not to increase interest rates. They want to leave them where they are. Do you think we're at a good place with the interest rates at the moment?
Yeah, probably. Of course, Fed watching and Fed guessing is always very, very tricky. They have indicated that interest rates are likely to go up a few more times before the end of this year, maybe as many as three more times. So I don't think that the story ends today.
Is it clear why to you why they're being so cautious even today?
Well, they've been cautious for years, and I think for good reason. You don't want to, because the Great Recession was so very deep, they didn't want to slam on the brakes and set us back into another recession. So they've been very reluctant to raise interest rates. Now they've raised them a couple times. I think they'll continue to do that, but unless they see evidence that the economy is really overheating, I think they'll continue to take it fairly slow. Right now, we're pretty close to full employment, but there isn't a whole lot of sign of inflation, maybe a little sign here or there. But I think they're looking at, when they look at all those things in their totality, they've decided continue to move at a modest pace. They're not going to jack up interest rates like crazy.
Yeah. Those that feel the inflation is much more significant than what the numbers are really showing us right now, do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I think if you're working at the Fed, you have to use the data that you have. And so, you know, they've got an army of people who are at the Bureau of Labor Statistics and elsewhere, who are at the Commerce Department, who are carefully monitoring what's happening to prices. And you do see some upward movement of some prices, but certainly this is nothing even remotely like a strong inflationary period. If prices, in my view at least, are continuing to be not growing exceedingly fast.
Do you think that's coming, though? Do you think inflation is about to hit us?
Well, it certainly could. I certainly hope we don't get back to anything like the inflation that we had in the 1970s. But we could get some inflation. Like I said, we're pretty close to full employment now. And that means that if the economy continues to grow, the further it grows, the more it's going to be hard for businesses to find workers, because there just aren't that many workers who don't have a job. Thus, that will bid up wages, and that puts some upward pressure on prices. That could be the result if we get the tax cut that President Trump has talked about, which would add many hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit every year, and that would be sort of like stepping hard on the accelerator, that would probably stoke those inflationary pressures.
Talking to Dr. Charles Ballard, Michigan State University economist, sounds like you're not a fan of the tax cuts President Trump is proposing. Is that correct?
Well, no, I'm not. Although it's not, I just was talking about the macroeconomic effect that it might stoke inflation. But that's not the main reason that I'm against this. As you and I have discussed more than once on your program, the biggest story in the United States economy in the last 40 years has been the phenomenal increase in income inequality, with most of the income gains going to a relatively small number of people at the top. Well, President Trump's proposal, or at least the one that he campaigned on, would give the average household a tax cut that would be in the hundreds of dollars, maybe as much as a thousand. But if you're in the top 0.01%, you'd get a tax cut of more than $1 million.
What about the idea that that would stimulate the entire economy if businesses had more money to hire and produce?
Well, what I was saying before is that I think we're pretty close to full employment. I don't, you know, there are limits to how fast you can go. The one thing that would allow us to grow faster without inflationary pressures is if we could somehow increase the rate of productivity growth. Okay. For better or worse, productivity growth has been sluggish for the last 13 years. I don't see how a tax cut would stimulate that, but...
So what will the impact be then? If the tax cut happens, what do you think will occur in the larger economy from that?
Well, the main thing is that it would redistribute income. It would not give much to the average household, and it would give a tremendous windfall to the very rich. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, if we were to have such large tax cuts, and if we didn't cut spending to match that, mm-hmm. you know, we would there would be a whole lot more debt, and we would have to finance that debt. We've already got debt held outside the Federal Reserve and the other agencies is more than $14 trillion, which is pretty big. This would grow the debt faster. I'm concerned that would put pressure on the credit markets, which would probably further increase those interest rates that we were talking about a little bit ago. And, of course, the other thing about running large deficits is that a substantial amount of that debt has been bought by people in other countries.
Including
the Chinese.
Charles, tell me this. When we hear business leaders saying that this is exactly what they need to spur further development and growth on their end, why do you think we're hearing that from that side of the argument?
Well, when I was talking about the tax cut, I was referring to the individual income tax mm-hmm. cut. Now, business leaders, many of them, they're really more focused on the corporate tax. And I think there are reforms that we could make in the corporate tax that would make it better. I would point out one thing. There was an interview with the CEO of a Fortune 500 company not long ago that was reported in the Wall Street Journal. And they asked, well, you know, if you had more money, what would you do with it? And he said, well, the obvious things. I would pay more dividends to my stockholders. I would use the money to buy back shares, which would pump up the stock price, mm-hmm. and I would look for other companies to acquire. Now, none of that was about building a new factory, doing research and development to come up with a new idea. It was all about moving money rather than making better products. And that sort of short-run mindset with a fanatical focus on stock prices is something that has really done, I think, a lot of damage, that kind of attitude.
Let me, Charles, ask you about a minute here left, but let me ask you about the Donald Trump's executive order on regulations this week. He says it's going to help small businesses directly. For any agency proposing a new regulations, they need to offer two that they are ready to eliminate. What do you think of that? Do you think that's going to help things out?
Maybe. It depends upon exactly which regulations we're talking about.
In general, are businesses over-regulated in your view?
I think some are, and I think some are not. You know, it's another one of these things where I would be taking a scalpel to it instead of taking a meat axe to it. I really hope that they can look very, very carefully at the individual details of every regulation rather than just taking a broad brush approach.
Okay, but those that say, look, the nature of government is a constantly increased regulation. We've seen massive increases in regulation. We really do need to, at this point, on a large scale, cut them back. What do you say to that?
Well, I think we can find some regulations that if we got rid of them, that would be good. But, you know, a lot of our regulations, some of our regulations say that you can't discriminate against women and minorities. I don't want to get rid of those regulations. Some of our regulations say that you can't dump toxic waste. I don't want to get rid of those. So, again, I would take a case-by-case basis.
Of course, we just scratched the surface once again here, but we'll do it again. Dr. Charles Ballard, Michigan State University economist, right here on 1320 WILS. Charles, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.